Do you want to learn effective ways to build relationships, generate sales, and grow your business from successful entrepreneurs, startups, and CEOs without listening to a long, long, long interview? If so, you've come to the right place. Gresham Harkness values your time and is ready to share with you precisely the information you're in search of. This is the I Am CEO Podcast.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Gresh from the I Am CEO Podcast, and I have a very special guest on the show today. I have Justin Breen of Brepik. Justin, it's awesome to have you on the show.
I'm really, really happy to be here.
No problem. Super excited to have you on. And what I want to do was just read a little bit more about Justin so you can hear about all the awesome things that he's doing. And Justin is the founder and CEO of Brepik, a PR firm that writes compelling, newsworthy stories for its clients and pitches these stories to media across the country to help amplify messaging. Brepik has worked with clients including Allstate, University of Illinois, Salvation Army, national IT firms, national hotel chains, financial planners, physicians, nonprofits, and many more. Justin, are you ready to speak to the IMCL community?
Oh, yes, I am.
Awesome. Let's do it. So the first question I had was to hear a little bit more about what I call your CEO story and what led you to start your business.
Wow. So my company was founded April 16th, 2017. So 2 years in, and it's been an amazing 2 year journey. And coming up with the process of starting this company, I basically developed it based on how PR firms annoyed me and failed me for 20 years when I was a journalist. And I'm like, there's got to be a better model of doing this. And through several months of working with clients and developing my brand, I came up with this really great model. And it's been smooth sailing ever since. It's been really just amazing to work with so many great clients.
Nice. I absolutely love it. And I've always considered myself a journalist at heart. So it's great to hear another journalist that has been able to kind of build a business around what it is that he's good at and what you've seen and things that you kind of see that you can do better as well.
Yeah. And it's a very simple model. And as I started this journey, I met with a ton of entrepreneurs, very high level folks, just to hear their stories, hear how they did it. And the single best bit of advice I got was a really, really great guy who's super successful. And he's like, do what you do well and do what you like to do. And so I focused my entire business based on that in terms of writing these really cool stories that I did as a journalist. So it's the same type of thing with client information blended in. And then I really like pitching to media. So this is like my really best skill set. And it's been super successful with all the clients I've had.
Yeah, absolutely. And just like you, I've always felt like the story was something that really is truly compelling for, you know, whether you're a journalist, whether you're somebody sitting at home watching TV, whatever it is, it seems like the story is what kind of pulls people in and kind of humanizes brands and people.
Yeah. So I meet with, you know, businesses big and small. It doesn't really matter what type of vertical it is, because as long as someone has a story, it doesn't matter. And people always ask me what my ideal client is. I'm like, well, do you want to be in the news or not? So usually what happens during meetings, and again, it doesn't matter what type of business it is or how big it is, but they talk about what's going on in the business and all these cool things. And I go, well, that's great, but guess what? Nobody really cares. But if you, you know, if you can let me get a really good story out of you in terms of let me ask questions and then figure out, hey, this is actually what the story is. And then you blend some of the client information into it. That's what will sell in terms of getting mainstream media to pick it up. And the beautiful thing is what I've discovered in the 2 years of having my own businesses, if you give media a good story, for the most part, other media doesn't care if other media does the story. They just want a really good story that they can share on their social media platforms and get a lot of shares and likes. And that's what's been cool, is that there's not necessarily so much competitiveness within media anymore. They just want that really good story.
Yeah, absolutely. It kind of seems like it's more cooperation, co-opetition, as I usually like to.
Oh, that's an interesting phrase. I haven't heard that. Yeah, say it again. Co-opetition.
Co-opetition. Yeah, I heard it.
I like that.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense because you're competitors, so in some form or fashion, but you're always trying to work together because you have the same kind of common goal. Mm-hmm. So I definitely like that. And I love the fact too, because I always say everybody's listening to WIIFM, what's in it for me. So when you are thinking, and a lot of us fall into the trap where we're creating something and we think it's great, and it might be great, but at the same time, you have to understand like what the end user actually wants to read and hear about. So it's great that you're able to do that.
Yeah, and so as a journalist, from a journalist perspective, you get 200 of these emails a day from, you know, these press releases that are, and those are the two worst words in my dictionary. Like, I don't even like saying it, but you get these emails with, it's just basically nonsense that serves the clients, and it's not really serving the media, and it's just, it's like a, it's PR BS. That's the way I describe it, and my firm is basically the opposite of that.
Nice, nice. Now, would you consider that, I was going to ask you for your secret sauce, and I know you kind of touched on it a little bit. Is that what you consider your secret sauce?
Yeah, I mean, people are hiring me for two reasons. And so if it's smaller businesses, it's the CEO directly. If it's larger companies, it's the PR component or the marketing component of that company. But they're hiring me for two reasons. One, my firm knows how to write a story that will actually get picked up in terms of, here's something that's actually interesting and that journalists and the general public will care about. And then two, they're hiring me for my connections to mainstream media, in terms of, I won't sign with someone unless they have a good marketable story. And then two, I won't send a story to a journalist in any market or at any place unless I think it's useful to them. And I'm not going to burn those type of bridges. So I'm basically a hired gun for the ideas in terms of what people care about, and then also my context.
Awesome. Awesome. I absolutely love that. And do you find that a lot of that is just because of how important relationships are, and that you have to be able to build those long-term relationships? So you want to be able to make sure you're creating win-win situations.
100%. Yeah. And so, as a journalist, I developed tons of relationships that way. And then on social media as well, I have about 30,000 followers on social media. And it really, like you said, it's long-term relationships. And people, if I don't know them, they'll go to my Twitter handle and see, oh, he has 10,500 followers. And he used to be a journalist for 20 years. And he's still the College of Media on alumni board, the journalism chair for University of Illinois. So this person actually knows what he's talking about, as opposed to, again, the typical PR BS, where it's someone who's never been a journalist, and, you know, they don't necessarily know what the good story is, and they're sending out these blue plate, you know, boilerplate type stories or press releases that aren't useful to anyone. So it's really the opposite of what PR firms traditionally have done, and again, annoyed me when I was a journalist for all this time.
Yeah, absolutely. I've looked into my inbox and seen a tremendous amount of press releases. So I know exactly, you know, right, what you feel. And I cringe sometimes when I see them, just because I want to go through and want to help, but it's just like so much. And it's usually just me. So it's great to hear that you're kind of putting a spin on that.
And it's good too. Like, and you mentioned networking groups. That's been so important to me, but also like finding the right networking group. So I'm in this group called Provisors, which is in Chicago and California, and it's expanding to other markets. But it's basically very high level, either entrepreneurs or top lawyers at firms or top financial advisors at firms. And what I found is, when you get to that level, it weeds out all the nonsense. It's people that like just get it, and they think give first as opposed to what's in it for them. And that's the way I look at things too. But so it's been a real blessing to find a group like that, because one, it's obviously for client potential, but more importantly, it's people that really like they're my friends. Like, it's something where I really appreciate and enjoy spending time with them. And they're, again, not in it for themselves. They're in it to help other people. And it's just so rewarding when you know, my business is 2 years old, and you go through these groups that are like, it's just people trying to steal your ideas or take. And there's no end game for it. But then when you find the right group, it's really exciting, because you find out that there's other people out there like you.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, like you said, you know, when you find a group in an environment where it's kind of give first and everybody's giving, it creates such a, you know, strong energy, and just obviously referrals and opportunities as well too.
Right.
Just such a great energy that is so rare to be around that. When you find it, you definitely, you know, hold on to it.
Well, and that's why I like, you know, talking to you. You've got this really cool network. You developed it essentially all on your own, and you built this platform. And now look why we're in totally different states, different time zones. And yet here we are, connected because of social media. And we both, I think the same in terms of building a brand and building this really cool social media identity and all these followers and this amazing network. And it just pays off. It never stops paying off when you do that.
I wanted to switch gears a little bit, and I wanted to ask you for what I call a CEO hack. And this might be an app, a book, or a habit that you have, but it's something that makes you more effective and efficient.
Wow. So I run 6 days a week outside, no matter the weather conditions. And that is, one, I have two very young children, and so that gets me out of the house. But two, it also is just a good way to like just kind of focus on what is going on with the day ahead. And that's been super helpful. I've also read a couple books. I'm sure other folks have mentioned it during these interviews, but Traction and E-Myth, which has really helped me prioritize in terms of where I want my company to go. And then also just figuring out long-term kinds of things, but then also like, you know, what I want to do, like what are my priorities? And I knew it before, but I really figured out my priority is spending time with my wife and children, and everything else is based around that. So what I have seen is a lot of very high-level entrepreneurs, they don't spend time with their families. And I don't see that for me being the right way of doing things. I'd rather have less clients that pay more than have way more clients and pay less. And then that takes away time from my family. So those books and those habits have really helped for sure.
Yeah, that makes sense when you have that focus and you understand like why you're doing what you're doing. You know, right. Talking about your wife and your kids, you put everything in perspective because it allows you the opportunity to be able to mold and build your business exactly how you want to create it. So yep. I love that. And more power to you for running as well. Especially, it's cool to say you're running when you're maybe in California or Florida at times all year. I know Chicago gets cold, so I wouldn't be running all year. So I appreciate you for doing that.
Yeah, and you know, I think another thing too is, and I kind of mentioned this earlier, but I meet with people all the time that, and it has nothing to do with getting them as clients, but I just meet with people because I really enjoy hearing their advice and hearing their stories. And I had mentioned that earlier a little bit, but the other really good piece of advice that was shared with me when I first started was when you start a business, it really does take 2 years to figure it out in terms of what you want to do and where it's going and not getting comfortable, but just kind of like getting used to things. And again, my business is 2 years old as of April 16th. And it was 100% accurate because a year really isn't long enough. 18 months is not long enough. It really does take 2 years. And when you're first starting a business, you're like, oh my God, 2 years, that seems a long way away. But it does take time, but it really does take that amount of time to get things going. And, as a journalist, you know, it's bang, 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 bang. You're writing 2 to 3 stories a day, getting all these emails. But as a business owner, it's not like that. It's a much slower, more methodical pace. And it has taken 2 years for me to get used to that. But now that I am, it's more exciting because I understand more how people work and how my business is going and all that kind of stuff. So again, just meeting with people, hearing what they have to say, it's been super helpful in those things. And I always thought there was something wrong with me, but really I was just an entrepreneur the whole time. And in those companies, an intrapreneur, where I'm basically an entrepreneur inside of a corporate business. But now, 2 years into this, I realize, okay, I was actually just an entrepreneur, and this is really what I was meant to do the entire time. And there's nothing wrong with me at all. It's just I didn't fit into that mold.
Exactly. Yeah. Sometimes it's just getting you in the right environment. And sometimes it takes time to do that. But I always say sometimes when you're in one environment and when you get to another, even if you need to have that binaries, so you need to have the environment you're not quote unquote supposed to be in to propel you into where you're supposed to be. So you appreciate it more and you're able to kind of blossom a lot more. So I definitely appreciate that. And you might've already touched on this, but I want to ask you for what I call a CEO hack. And this is a word of wisdom or piece of advice, or if you can hop into a time machine, what would you tell your younger business self?
Wow. Oh man. What would I tell myself 2 years ago? One, I would tell myself that everything's going to be okay. I think when you start a business, there's like three phases. Again, this is from reading books, but you know, you're in three kind of phases. You're like, it's totally immature, then it's adolescence, and then it's maturity. And I'm in the adolescent phase now. And in the first phase, you're just like, I'm just trying to survive. Mm-hmm. I reached out to 5,000 people and businesses to get my first 5 clients. I mean, and so that's a different mindset now where I really know, like, these are the people I really want to focus on, who value what I do, who can afford what I do, who have a positive forward-thinking mindset. Those are the only people I really want to work with now. And I think if I would have told myself 2 years ago what I know now, again, I would have focused on what I'm really, really good at and what I like to do, and then that this is going to take time and that things will be okay, and that my wife and my children are very healthy and very happy, and that's the most important thing, and all this other stuff is just kind of gravy.
Now I want to ask you my absolute favorite question, which is the definition of what it means to be a CEO. And we're hoping to have different quote unquote CEOs on the show. But Justin, I want to ask you, what does being a CEO mean to you?
Wow, that's a really good question. And I'm actually going to start asking my clients that, because a lot of them are small business CEOs. That's a really good question. So I'm going to store that away in my brain. But so what it means to me is, and I just met with someone very recently, very high level CEO, makes hundreds of millions of dollars a year. He's a genius. And he was telling me what it means to be an entrepreneur is you have all these freedoms that you typically wouldn't have. Like, I can see my kids whenever I want to. I get to work with who I want to work with. I make way more money doing this than I ever did in corporate. I can, you know, I mean, we can have these discussions now. I don't have to answer to anybody. So what it really means to me is have freedom. And it also means that I can really live the life that I think I was supposed to be leading my whole time and whole life as a professional. And now I finally realize this is what I should be doing. So that's what it means to be a CEO for me, is just this freedom and this like excitement that this can be my life, and you can really be happy and free doing
that. Awesome, awesome, awesome. We'll make sure to have those links in the show notes as well, just so that everybody can follow up with you. But I appreciate you again, Justin, for your time and your 2 years of phenomenal building your business and to many more years. I hope you have a great rest of the day.
Thanks so much. I really appreciate this opportunity.
Thank you for listening to the I Am CEO podcast, powered by Blue 16 Media. Tune in next time and visit us at imceo.co. I Am CEO is not just a phrase, it's a community. Be sure to follow us on social media and subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Google Play, and everywhere you listen to podcasts. Subscribe and leave us a 5-star rating. Grab CEO gear at www.ceogear.co. This has been the I Am CEO podcast with Gresham Harkless. Thank you for listening.